Today's shiur is a special one in honor of Rosh Hashanah, although it is really the themes are timeless in the sense that they're not limited to Rosh Hashanah, and certainly at minimum they would be related to all of Yom and the Rayim, and it comes from Chelek Beis of Alei Shor. Our regular learning is from Chelek Aleph, but when we've had the different things for Yomim Tovim and stuff, Shar Shlishi in the Chelek Beis, he goes through various points of the calendar. So we've dipped into this volume in the past, and for those who have the Sefer, it's Shar Shlishi Perek Shloshasar. But again, if you're in the WhatsApp group, you have the PDF. So it's actually a long and complicated piece with four different sections. Obviously, we're not going to have time to read all of it inside, but I'd like to kind of jump around. We'll take selections from each of the different parts of this essay, and I think they build to something. As we've seen, this is what has made this Sefer so powerful, and I think this Chabura so successful, is that it's, on the one hand, I think it can be very inspirational, but it's sophisticated. This is not superficial, this is not fluff, this is sophisticated thought or Musar. So yeah, if you have the PDF, we'll start right at the beginning. Hayisod harishon bebinyan ha'adam es atzma hu lios yachid velo stam adam. The first principle in developing oneself as a human being and as Neved Hashem is to realize that you're unique. You're not a stam person. And you should just go along with the flow and do everything that everybody else does. You have to realize that you are unique. You have unique abilities, unique challenges, unique dignity. You're not a stam adam. But paradoxically, at the same time, he says, Yesod HaSheni, right away, the second step in becoming a human being, in the deepest sense of the word is, Liros Asmachach B'toch HaKlal. Not to see yourself as an island. In the other contexts, I've quoted Rav Soloveitchik, always pointed out that we don't romanticize the life of Robinson Crusoe in Judaism. That's a tragedy, not something to be admired. We believe that a person is part of the community. And obviously, in this one sentence, you have a little bit of a paradox. On the one hand, the first step is to realize you're unique. On the other hand, is to realize that your ultimate connection is to being part of the klal. And as he points out in the next sentence, klal eino schum shel pratim rabim, elem tzius chadasha, asher al kein hilchos tzibur rabo shonos mehilchos yachid. We know, I guess the best example would be the secular legal reality of an LLC or a corporation. A klal in Judaism is not just lots of individuals. There's a shutfus of two people who went into a partnership, husband, and then there could be a shutfus of 1,000 people. No, that's not a klal. It's not a shutfus of 1,000 people or 1,000,000 people. It's its own independent identity that transcends the individuals. And therefore, he says, that's why there are many areas, both in Hashkafa and even in Halacha, where the halachos of the klal are different than the halachos would be for one person or even for many people, because the klal is not many people, it's its own metaphysical entity. He actually, again, won't read it inside, but he actually quotes here examples of Mari and Mari Chazal, specifically around this time of year, because some of the things which are most notably and significantly different for the klal are the ability of tefillah and the ability of tshuva. Right? Do you really want to be standing under the bright, white, you know, hot light of the spotlight to be the only one Hashem is looking at for that judgment? Or would you rather be, for this, maybe you don't want a solo. And maybe when you're fighting for your life, you would be, perhaps you'd be better to be part of the symphony, be part of the chorus, right? It's very exciting to perhaps we have the solo. But if everything is going to come down to just whether you deserve it, right? Not everyone could really handle that level of, that type of audit. Right? It would be a little bit easier maybe if we're part of the group. And that's Chazal saying many times. If you really want to succeed in din, you want to be able to uproot a bad gzar din with a tefillah, to be part of the tefillah of the tzibur has much more power. If you skip to the next paragraph, he uses a metaphor, which we know in other contexts, but he really develops it to illustrate this point. And that'll be kind of the first stage of today's shiur. And that is the comparison that we have to a tree. Eitz hu aklal, right? A tree is a unit, but it's comprised of many, many things. Sharashim, klipa, anafim, halim, perot, all of these are pratim, right? You have the roots and the bark and the branches and the leaves and the fruit. They're all the different components. Ko ala yonek chiyuto me'etz atzmo, right? Every leaf, every component is deriving its nourishment and it's therefore its life force from the tree itself. And if it will be nosher me'anaf, it'll fall off the branch, the leaf, hu novel, it'll decay, it'll die. So too, Klal Yisrael, hu b'bchinas eitz. V'chol echad v'echad me'Yisrael hu b'bchinas aleh be'etz hazeh. Right? So every one of us, was that an Avram Fried song, right? Aleh Katan? So maybe he read this, maybe he was inspired by this piece. He says, every one of us are like a little leaf. And therefore, kol ochu davuk b'haklal, to the extent that we're connected to the tree, to the life force, However, but if you separate yourself from the klal, then you separate yourself from the life force. Right? You may still be living, but you're really in the process of dying. Right? If you would take, if beneath the soil you were disconnected, the flower is disconnected to its roots, or its roots are already dead. Above the soil, it still looks like it's alive. But if we knew what was going on underneath, it's already in the process of dying. Says, similarly, if we're disconnected from Klal Yisrael, whether we realize it or not, we're already, so to speak, dying. Now he points out that it's obvious if we're talking about something like an inanimate object like a leaf. He points out at the end of this paragraph, however, human beings obviously are intended to be thoughtful. We're a bal seichel. And if you're a bal seichel, then yeshu tfisa chazaka ba'atzmo lachshov she'enu zokuk l'acherim. Right? A human thoughtful person, you don't have to be, an egotist or just, you know, someone who's narcissistic to think, you know, I'm somebody. Not only that, he had told us in the opening of the paragraph that you're supposed to think you're somebody. So he says, you're right. It's interesting. Again, this part is all paradoxical, but it's deep. He says, yes, your seichel tells you the truth. That you are an individual with unique abilities, deeds, etc., etc. So therefore, what do you need? You need something that's even deeper than seichel. You need bina yisera. Bina yisera tzarech la'adam kere lahakir et mivne ha'olam. She'en liyachid kiyum ela. Imeinu mizdakek, excuse me, la'klal kulo. V'zot beprat etzel ha'klal Yisrael. Right? So he said, yes, it's true. It's not that it's not true. Of course it's true that you're an individual. And any bal seichel can think about ways in which he's unique and separate. On the other hand, a deeper level of understanding, a deeper level of consciousness, what he calls here bina yisera, you understand this, you can have, you know, two things that are true at the same time. Yes, on the one hand, I'm unique and I'm an independent being with agency. And on the other hand, my ultimate reality comes because of my connection to the klal. And he points out something which I thought, you know, you don't, if you're not thinking about this in a very frontal way, you don't necessarily are sensitive to the nuance in language, but he says that's why it's klal Yisrael. Because Jewish people are a klal. Every Yisrael has to be part of the klal. It's, again, think of that tree, the tree metaphors. He says at the end of the paragraph here, shame ze klal Yisrael, kvar meid, ki ba'am Hashem, because when it comes to the Jewish people, being part of the klal is more vital than it would be for any other nation. Okay, if you go to the bottom of the page, I'll just paraphrase this part outside as we're going to turn over the page. He quotes a number of Amari Chazal that speak about this and take it one, if you will, one step further. And the most famous Gemara that he quotes is one which is, you know, certainly relevant to Tzom Gedalia imminently, and of course Yom Kippur. Called Tainus Shainbo Mi Poshe Yisrael, ain't no Tainus. Right? The idea that if you have a bunch of tzaddikim, so that's a klal, but it's missing something which by definition should be really part of the klal. Because in any big group, right, I guess, until Mashiach, I don't know, right, there's never going to be everyone who's really a tzaddik. There are all sorts of people who fall short. And if you exclude them from your group, you're not really a klal Yisrael. And of course, the famous source for this, the Gemara quotes, is the. Are the famous spices, the part of the carbon that are brought in the Beis Hamikdash every day. And if the chelbuna is missing from the ketores, right, there's 11, 12 spices, and one of them, the chelbuna, had a terrible smell. And yet if you're missing that one, the whole ketores is possible. So too, if you have a klal without the poshe Yisrael, there's something that's possible. So if you turn over the page to the next page, he points out something very powerful. Again, many of us have heard that Gemara in the Mamre Chazal many, many times. But he says here the paragraph right at the beginning of the next page, Harashayim zukukim letzadikim necha. Every time you hear that Gemara, you have to think about it for a second. Right? We don't think that's part of our problem, but we should think. That the Poshe Yisrael, that the sinners, that the Rashayim, that they need the klal, that they need to be part of Am Yisrael to help lift them up, help compensate for what they're missing. Necha, that we understand. Achat tzadikim? Zekukim l'rashayim? Why? Necha teisi, why should it be? Why is it that the tzadikim need the rashayim? That the rashayim, the tzadikim, we understand. Heim heim advarim, he says, but that's exactly the point. Haklal Yisrael hu klal. V'rak p'toras klal. Yecholim lovo lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tfilo sehem. U'la klal kula m'shayachim. Harashayim Hemo Hatzadikim. Our Iker connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is as a klal, as klal Yisrael. And therefore, on some level, yes, you need them, because if you don't have them, then you're missing part of the klal. So you'll say, okay, then I'll stand by myself. Okay, let's see how that works out for you. You think you're a tzaddik. Maybe you are, maybe you aren't. We'll find out. But if you don't want to stand in front of Hashem only in your own merit, but you want to be part of the klal, then all means all. It can't be everyone but, you know, the chevra down the block who I don't like. Or that hashkafa, the other 17 hashkafas I'm okay with, but not that one. That's where I draw. Klal means everybody. And if you want to be standing in front of Hashem b'schus the klal, he says you need everyone. Okay, let's skip to the bottom of this page. Os Beis in the essay. And he points out, this is not easy. Ha'adam ha'prati chayav liot isha klal. V'lo kal hu adavar. Right, it's human nature, it's instinct, and it's healthy even. Right, we see in ourselves everything. It wasn't until I was looking at this piece last night and decided this is what we would learn that I realized that I got to this part of the essay. It hit me. This, for those who were with us last week. This actually, even though we took a break from what we're learning in Volume 1 and we jumped here to Volume 2 for Rosh Hashanah, but there's actually a very significant overlap to what we did last week and this week. Last week we began a chapter about Chesed. And he pointed out that the core of Chesed is that you're not living for yourself. You realize there's something else besides you. And that was his very deep point where he made that there was a connection between Mitzvos Ben Amlechavero, Chesed, and emunah and other things, which seem to be two very nice things, but not connected. And his point was they had a tzara shava, that a person can see beyond himself. The egotist, the narcissist, can't see beyond himself. So he can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu or the poor person that he just walked by in the street. So here he's making a similar point, which is that it's true on the one hand, it's very hard. But the answer is, okay, some important things in life are hard. And the key to conceptualize this is person has to realize he doesn't live just for himself. If you realize that, then the other stuff follows. Now that is, for some people, that could be as hard as leaping the Grand Canyon in a single bound. But that's the avoda. That's the avoda. If you get to that point that I don't live just for myself, then memela, the other things follow. He points out in the continuation here, as we get to the bottom of the page, something that I think a lot of mafarshim I think discuss, as far as I remember. But he points it out from the Gro. That when it comes to davening, right, we know that everything is b'loshan rabim. Refa'einu and barech aleinu. And the Gro goes so far as to say it's usher to daven in a certain sense by yourself. Right? Kedei lispalash mon esrei b'kavana amiti tzarech lehatalot mi'al tzarech atzmeinu. And what the Torah is basically, the Torah Chazal, is teaching us, is being madrichas, every time we say shmon esrei, subliminally it's teaching us, every time we say a bracha b'loshan rabim, that it's not just about you. If everyone will be blessed, then maybe you'll be blessed. But it's about, and again, for those like me, who have an affinity to sports, right, it's a perfect metaphor. Right? There are me-first players, and then there are team-first players. Right? And it's not always so easy, right? After all, if you don't get the catches or the stats, you're not going to get the contract, or at least not as big a contract. You can understand why a person would want to care about himself and his statistics and his accomplishments. You can understand that. But if you're going to be a championship team, you need people who can get past that. Who realize that if the team wins a championship, that's going to be good for everybody. It's about the team first. Memela, then I'll benefit. So for Enu, everyone should have good health. Memela, I'll have good health. But it's not just about me. He points out that Dafka and Rosh Hashanah, here's one of the first times in the actual chapter, he specifically mentions Rosh Hashanah, and how that's why he says something that many probably Dvar Torahs or Drashas about this, why there's no Vidua in Rosh Hashanah. Ad kerekach, even though it's not our minhag, but there were those who thought you shouldn't say Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lufanecha on Rosh Hashanah. Because how can we even mention that? Because we say that on Rosh Hashanah. But ad kerekach, there were some shitas who had that opinion. But we don't say vidui. Why not? Because in vidui, I'm focused internally on myself. Well, isn't that the avoda? He says, not on Rosh Hashanah. And here, as we transition now to the next page, Taf Yotet, here's where I think he makes a tremendous breakthrough, and it really does mirror what we talked about last week. It's really, really hard to be, beyond your selfish needs, right? Very, very hard. So you could say, we'll work at it. But you know what else you could... So in essence, what he says, and this is the next part of the essay, really to finish it up, one of the ways you can do that is by realizing, if you focus, it's not about you or even the people per se, it's about Hashem. Right? If you truly, truly care about Hashem, so then you realize it's not about me, it's about Him, and what would He want? I'll give you a very easy metaphor, right? Some people have very easy, natural, good relationships with their siblings. Right? If they weren't brothers or sisters, they'd be best friends anyway. They really get along, they have the same personality, it's easy. Other people, it could be more complicated. So let's say you're one of those situations. How could one overcome that? So it could be a lot of different ways. I'm not trying to, you know, be a reductionist. It's not one way. But what is a way is to focus on your parents. If it's about me, well, maybe I don't really love my brother or my sister so much. But if I really care about my parents, what would they want? And what does every parent want? That their children should get along. So if you're living for yourself already, there's also the cheshbonos. And guess what? Maybe you're actually right. You know, maybe you're not, but maybe you are. Maybe it really is his or her fault. But that's when you're worrying about yourself. If you think more about what would matter to my parents, what would make them happy? So you say, well, why should I worry about that? Okay, well, that's at some point we get to just axiomatic principles. If you say, this is what I care about on my hierarchy of priorities, I'm going to put that above myself, the mele of the other things will flow. Okay? Human relationships, particularly families, can be complicated, but I think there's a truth to what I'm saying. The metaphor, and this is the point that he's addressing, is if you want to really live for Klal Yisrael, live for Hashem. If it's really all about what's best for Hashem, so Avinu Shebashamayim also wants his children to get along. Or if you prefer the other metaphor, Malkeinu. What's greater for the king? To have splintered factions who can't come together in his service? Or to have a unified mass of people who are all there to serve the king? Of course it's better for the king to have a unified and cohesive group. So the more you focus outside of yourself, again, some people can focus outside of themselves directly to Am Yisrael. And for other people, that might be harder. But the solution is, think not even so much about you or the people as step one. First, think about Lamancha. We're doing it for you, Hashem. And then Memela, everything else redounds. If you skip to Os Gimel there on Tuf Yotes, we're almost done. Okay, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but we will be done shortly. How about that? And that is, he quotes this very powerful idea from Yisrael Salanter. And if nothing else, it's worth it to have come today just for this line. Rav Yisrael Salanter, he says, used to emphasize over and over again, ki ha'etza ha'yechida lizkos b'din hu, what's the one tried and true secret for success in din on Rosh Hashanah? Lios ish sharabim tzrichim lo. Be somebody that other people need. Be somebody that other people depend on. He points out that the Rabbi Simcha Zissel of Kelm and others who were the students of Yisrael Salanter used to specifically emphasize this in the context of Rosh Hashanah. On the one hand, it's Kol Boy Olam Ovrim Alecha Kivnei Maron. We're all like that lonely soldier or the lonely sheep going by. On the other hand, it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Niskarim B'Skir Achas. He looks at all of us together. Ki Achol Pisha Donin Kol Echad Echad B'Yechidus Etzam Adin Hu Ad kama adam shayach leklal. Again, it's like the tree, right? It doesn't matter how beautiful the leaf is. It can only live so long by itself. You want to be someone who's successful in din, it has to be about rabim tzrichlo. You have to be connected to the tzibur. And again, and look at the bottom of the paragraph, the bottom of the page, the last paragraph. To be a person that other people depend on, zemishu enu egoist. Right? It can't be someone who is only about himself, his own ego. Enu chay chayav rak la'atzmo. All of those things, all of your midos, have to be used for the greater good. And now he says something really important. Last three lines of this page. When it means rabim tzrichinlo, lav da'afka askun tziburi. Right? In certain communities, that's like the most important word. It's askun. I get the really guttural A there. Askun. Right? It's askun. It says, okay, it's important. We're not meaning mizalzal. People who really help the community, whether it's financially, or they're lobbying with the government, or they're making chesed programs, and it's amazing. But how many people are like that? So that's the only way to be Rabbim. So Yichem Loi says not at all. Elanose ba'olim chaveiro v'mchaveirim avhu yoshev b'dal ramos sav ve'enu yotzel shusarabim adam shu demushal yehudi amiti hu adam shirabim shirichlo. Person who has genuine empathy, who cares about other people, who sees beyond him or herself. It doesn't have to be, you know, that you're the head, the president of the board, or you founded an organization. That's great. Of course it's great. But that's not the only definition or the only way to be a Rabbim Shrichem Lo. And if you're somebody who does everything for his children, does everything for even for a sibling or for a... That's Rabbim Shrichem Lo, because you're not living for yourself. Living for someone else, he says, is the key to being successful at Din. And with this, we'll go to the last page. You'll indulge me in just a few more minutes, please. Right? What do we say? Kosveinu b'sefer achayim? Lamancha Elohim chayim. Right? As we said before, either you can look horizontally or you can look vertically, but hopefully you get to the same place. It's not about you. Rabim Srichem Lo, you care about other people, you're living for them, but really, what is that really? It's Lamancha Elohim chayim. Because that is not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu would want. Wouldn't he want to know, right? Wouldn't every parent want to know, if I'm not going to be here anymore, but I know that my children are going to take care of each other. They're going to be there for each other. Right? So if you're living lemancha, right? We say, Hashem, please, kasvenu b'sefer chayim lemancha elohim chayim, for your sake. I want to do the... If you don't give me life, how am I going to do that? If you don't even give me parnasa, how am I going to do it? You don't give it? So we want these things, but why do we want them? So that we can then help the people who need our help, that we can do for Hashem what He needs us to do for Him in this world. Now the last part, and this we'll conclude with, he quotes a Gemara which he says at first glance seems to contradict it. We don't have time to read the whole Gemara inside, but the Gemara itself seems to say on the one hand it sounds like people are learning just for themselves. Are they learning for themselves Torah? Are they learning for other people? And basically the Gemara tries to say in conclusion, well, at first you learn for yourself and then eventually for other people. So what do you mean, says the Rav Albi? I thought we just said it's not about yourself. So he uses something we saw earlier last year. For those who might remember, the Tomar Devora, the famous Kabbalist, Moshe Cordovero, he quoted something from the Zohar, which is really, really provocative. The Yetzer Tov was created in the person for himself. The Yetzer Hara, for his wife. So I looked at the Torah of Devora inside last night, and there he's specifically talking about the sexual urge. And his point in that context is it's not supposed to be just for self-gratification. It's supposed to be for the benefit of your spouse. The ability to give the pleasure to the other person. Okay, that's its own parsha. But using that as a paradigm, Tomer Dvora, and then even more in depth, Rav Albi here, he points out it's not just about that particular Yetzirah. He says here, again, we don't have time to read it all inside, this really was a very long piece, but he says it's not just the Yetzer Hara in that sense. It's not just Taiva. Ela kol hamidos she'enu mibchinas ha-chesed, all of the less than ideal and altruistic and other focused midos that we all have, they're all similarly. Why did Hashem give them to us? Because they can be adapted and they can be co-opted to help other people. Whether it's achzarius, gaiva, kavod, chemdas mamin, kas, kina, all of these things, the goal isn't to root them out, in the sense, but to root them outward, to reroute them, to use them to help either HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, it's about something beyond yourself, or other people. Kavod and kina, lekane lekvod abore, to be worried about other people, and specifically Hashem's kavod. Gaiva, so that when you see other people saying, oh, Judaism is bad, or being from is bad, you have pride, you stand up. You don't just fold the first time someone criticizes our, you know, sometimes our beliefs are not so popular. In today's day and age, that's especially true. If you have no gaiva at all, you're a nobody, you're a shemata, you let other people walk over you, we don't stand up for ourselves. Sometimes you have to. Achzarius? Lit achzer l'rushayim lolabater lem. Right? Sometimes you need to be tough. You have to know when, but when people are being oppressed, sometimes it takes a certain toughness to stand up to the bully. So we need that midah. Chemdas mamon. Yes, people have chemdas mamon. They want to have money. But why? For themselves? Or be able to help other people. Help other people starts off with the people who live in the same house as them. It also means the community. But helping your family, of course, is the most important thing. Tomech Torah. All sorts of things he goes through. That is the key, he says, to everything. If a person is just living for himself, eventually, he says, again, I'm skipping now, he says, you're solely mechai, at some point it becomes enough. You become almost disgusted, he said, with your own life, if it's all inside of yourself. But if you can live for other people and live for Hashem, which sound like very different things, but again, the Tzad HaShav is, it's not about me. I'm not the center. I'm there to help other people. And therefore, I have a right. I have a right to stand before Hashem on Rosh Hashanah and ask for another year of good health. I have a right to ask Hashem for a good parnasa, a better parnasa, more money. I have a right to ask Hashem for more happiness. I have a right to ask Hashem for all these things. Why? Because I want them not just for an easier, more comfortable life for myself. I want them because there are people who depend on me and I want to be able to help them. I want to do things for Hashem. I want to do things for Am Yisrael. I want to do things for the shul. I want to do things for the community. Again, only Hashem knows. Only you know, and not always do we know because we're good at lying to ourselves. So hopefully you know, and for sure only besides you, Hashem knows. But no one else knows if that's what you're really, in your heart of hearts, in your kishkas, what you're asking for. But if you can get, and I'm not saying any of this is easy. Not even close. But that's, at least we have to know what we're aiming for. Not to live inside of ourselves, but beyond ourselves and for others. And again, there's a vertical axis and there's a horizontal axis. But they both lead to the same place. If you care about other people, mainly you're going to be caring about Hashem. And if you really care about Hashem, mainly you're going to have to care about his children as well. This, he says, is the key. And with that, he concludes the piece. V'kasveinu b'sefer ha'chaim. What's our first thing we say? Why should we? What do we deserve to be in sefer ha'chaim for? L'mancha Elohim chaim. A good Shabbos and a Shana Tov to everybody.